is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this sunny morning, May 29th, 2021. What a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. The sun is shining, the grass is green, God is good to us, that's for sure. Well, we've got a full crew this morning. We'll bring everybody on from way down south. Josh, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And up north, Paul, thanks for tuning in and being with us this morning, sir.
Good morning.
Jason, good morning. Good to have you on, sir.
Good morning.
And John, good morning to you as well, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we offer that same good morning to you as well. We thank you for joining us. The program, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we've got our Bibles. We've got good hot coffee. And the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. It's a live hour. Where it goes, we were talking about this before the program. We'll just have to see. You know, we don't have a big scripted program to cover all these certain points. We'll just open it up. It's an opportunity for like-minded Christians to get together and to be able to talk to one another and you know, compare things, see how things are going. And so, and we do our best to always open up in prayer. We hope that you do the same thing. And John, we'll sure ask you to open us up in prayer, sir.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that you are a patient God, that you're not slow as the world counts slowness, but patient, not wanting for any of yours to come to destruction, but all to come to repentance. Father, first and foremost, we do pray for those that can come to repentance, those that are not of their father, the devil, those that have not made a deal with Satan, those that are not of those that you warned us about that roam like roaring lions seeking someone to devour, that come only to steal, to kill, and destroy. Father, we want those that can to come to repentance. Father, pray that you remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, that they'd fall upon their face and cry out and ask for forgiveness. Father, I ask that, just as your word says in Hebrews 1:14, that we can call upon you to send myriads of angels out. I ask that you would send those ministering angels out ahead of time to put those people that are in our path, to prepare their hearts and minds and souls to receive the truth. Father, pray that we would be silent, Lord, and let the Holy Spirit speak through us, that just the proper amount of salt would be distributed. Lord, that we wouldn't overwhelm them, but that you would give us the opportunity to share the truth of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Father, that you would open their eyes, and when they do, that they would see the critical importance of being born again and baptized by immersion for the remission of their sins. We thank you, Lord, for those that have recently had their eyes opened and awakened to the truth and have contacted the church or other members of the body to fulfill that commitment. Father, our desire is to see a tsunami of your people that finally realize the critical importance of being obedient to your call to be baptized for the remission of sins. Lord, we continue to pray. Your word says we have not because we ask not, and that we're to pray unceasingly. So we continue to pray that those things, those wicked, vile, evil things that were done in the dark, would continue to be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. We continue to pray that you would send confusion into the camp of the enemy, that they would turn upon one another and devour one another, that they would fall in the pits that they dig and be ensnared in the traps that they lay. And we continue to pray for righteous judgment, Lord. Every day we see that there's a two-tier justice system. And Father, we know that nothing happens in this world unless you allow it. And we are guilty of falling asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us, guide and direct us, give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment, especially as the patriarchs of our household in these last days. Father, we know that there's no greater weapon, offensively or defensively, than the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We plead that blood over ourselves and our wives and our children and all that you blessed us with. Father, we ask for your blessings to be upon this broadcast this morning, that you would give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment with regards to what's important to your people. Show us, Lord, how it ties into your word. We know also that your word says that there were things that were sealed up until the proper time in Daniel, and that those things were not to be revealed until the last days. Your word also says that knowledge would increase in the last days, and Father, we ask that you would increase our knowledge, Lord, that you would continue to reveal those things that have always been there but have been hidden until the proper time. Father, remember grace and mercy in your wrath and find us, your people, worthy to escape the things that are coming. Pray these things in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, Remnant, the phone line is open this morning, 307-745-5913. And, you know, John, just as you prayed that there would be confusion among their ranks, we are seeing that that prayer being answered. The confusion in the acting president, every time that he gets behind the camera, I saw it, what was it, last week, and he said, well, they told me I'm not supposed to be answering these questions. And it just, and so there is confusion in their ranks, and many, many more people are seeing it. They're seeing that confusion. They're seeing the hypocrisy of the actions of this ungodly government when they close down and say no pipelines in the U.S. and then they're supporting ones overseas. Our border is in complete invasion status. It is just anarchy and chaos down on the southern border, with hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens just pouring into this nation. And it's just all but ignored. The people are starting, some anyway, are having their eyes opened and starting to see that the actions of this government are not to benefit the people of this nation, but to destroy it.
Yeah, amen, especially regarding these vaccines. You can see all these carrots that they're putting out there now, because as the truth starts to come out in the mainstream media, even regarding the dangers of the vaccine, now you got all these governors that are setting these incentives. The governor of our state here in Colorado, just this week, he was like, well, we got a special gift for all of those of you that are, you know, get the vaccine. We're going to offer not one, not two, not three, not four, but five $1 million prizes, five yeah. consecutive weeks starting June 6th for anyone who's got the jab. And even if you got it before this program was announced, the winner will be announced by the winning vaccination number, and if you can prove that you had the vaccine, then you received that gift. Of course, it's subject to all state and federal local taxes, and, you know. But one thing I heard today that was even more concerning, I'm not sure if the feds are considering this, but I know that there's several governors, and I'm pretty sure for sure California has, but they're offering, no matter what your sentence was in jail, a 50% reduction if you get the vaccine. Well, why wouldn't they? Because, in my opinion, that thing's a genocide, plan for genocide, and if they can reduce the prison population, then they save a lot of money, because those are worthless eaters. But, I mean, best case scenario, I think this thing's going to sterilize millions and millions of people. Worst case scenario, it's going to kill millions and millions of people. In fact, I honestly believe that that's the long-term goal of these vaccines. It appears that anyone who's got the vaccine and then gets COVID-19 is much, much worse off than they were by getting the flu the first time. Is that what you're seeing, Jason?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And they keep pushing it, but people are, I mean, there's a lot of people that are really questioning it, which is, you know, encouraging too. Even a lot of doctors are coming out and starting to put out information that telling people, you know, I don't think I would absolutely recommend getting this. And a lot of them are saying, you know, by all means, don't get it. The new Truth on COVID-19, Dr. Maricola book has been a big hit. And I mean, I've even talked to some of the doctors that I've shared that book with that ordered it and are carrying it in their doctor's offices. So, you know, that's encouraging. And I see that information getting out, and that's, you know, that's great. And if anybody has any questions on the vaccine or the, you know, the virus or anything like that, that book, it's a Dr. Maricola, Joseph Maricola book, fantastic book. We've got it available. It's got just full of good information. Really encourage people to get that book.
Amen. Yep. Well, what does Hosea 4:6 say? My people perish for lack of knowledge. And God's given us these resources. He's given us those watchmen on the wall. He's given us those voices in the wilderness to warn our people. I'm extremely grateful that the Lord exposed the dangers of those vaccines many months ago, and we put that out. A lot of people have said how much they appreciate the fact that we put the truth out from the beginning, and that's kept them from making a mistake. It's also concerning how many people who know better that you come in contact with that. Well, you're going to have to, one time or another anyway, so you might as well just get it over with now. And I'm like, wow. And some of these are our people, which is very difficult to comprehend.
Yeah, it is.
John, yep. you need to finish Hosea 4:6, because they reject knowledge. You know, how long we've been telling the story and how many people have listened. They reject knowledge. It's a epidemic in this country. People have made choices. Everybody could quote Hosea 4:6 as the first part, but they don't read on because the people have rejected knowledge, and it's very hard to tell the truth right now.
Yeah, amen. You're right. And the Lord said, if they will not believe the truth, I will send upon them a strong, deluding influence. And
it's here.
That's not what's going on in the world. Absolutely.
It's here.
Well, you're being forced to draw those lines, you know, more than ever before in my lifetime. I mean, you know, they're talking about not allowing you to work at certain places with regards to not having the vaccine. They're talking about, you know, there's different conversations about businesses not allowing you to use their services. Just a matter of time before the airlines, I believe, start enforcing that kind of restriction. Right now, you can't. As far as I know, you can't get back into this country unless you have a negative COVID test within, I don't know if it's 24 hours or 48 or 72, whatever it is. But, and, you know, there's some proof that even these COVID tests are dangerous with regards to the swab and how far they stick it up your brain. I have not had a COVID test. By the grace of God, I haven't had to spit in a test tube and have them put that in a group of like 50, and then they test that, and if there's one positive in there, then that triggers the actual COVID test. But I found that LDM is extremely useful in that case. I take a few squirts of that right before I do, and it probably cleans up that whole batch to the point where they're wondering why it's so clean. But praise God for the things that He's given us to combat the plans of the enemy.
Amen to that.
Well, it's an exciting time.
I don't think there's ever been a more important time for us to stand and, you know, take a stand for God and be visible when we're supposed to be visible, and certainly be hitting Him when we're supposed to be as well. I was thinking last night, or actually myself and a friend of mine were talking about times, you know, different time periods, and it got me to thinking about, you know, a lot of times we've mentioned that or made a statement like, man, I was born 100 years too late, you know, or 150 years too late, and looking at different time periods in history and just how they seem to maybe have suited us better. But got a lady that's pretty close and near and dear to my heart, and she
has just been quoting it for such a time as this scripture, and it's just, I've heard it many times, you know, in many different places, and that's so applicable to where we are today. There's never been a more exciting time period where there was more work to be done, more opportunity for us as Christian soldiers to fight the good fight and make a difference for our people and for our God.
There's a lot of low-hanging fruit, I think, is the best way to describe it. A lot of people who are set in their ways in the evangelical churches, I'm not so sure that they're going to wake up from a lot of this, but there's a group of millions of people who are searching for the truth. They know that something's wrong. They know that they've been lied to. And I think those are the people that the Lord's commissioned us to reach with the truth right now. If we can get the truth and the power of the Holy Spirit tied together, then we'll see a victory like we've never seen before.
No doubt, and that power that Holy Spirit having access to it is completely proportional to our obedience and being found where He wants us to be.
Yep, and they don't have access to that. The enemy does not have access to the power of the Holy Spirit.
They do have the news media, though.
Yeah. Yeah, the news media, the schools.
And people are turning the TV up more and more. I talk to them. They just are so repulsive that everybody can see it. You know, but the thing of it is, people have to be looking. When I figured out the church I was raised in didn't really give a crap about the Bible, I was looking. I went looking, and then I run into Pastor Peter, and I didn't really care for the rascal at the first, you know, but I knew the Bible, and I knew it, and he kept telling, and I changed my mind about him, if you don't know that. So, anyway, you got to be looking. Sometimes the truth is offensive, especially when you believe a lie. And then you figure out that lie isn't going to go anywhere. Then you got to go somewhere else. And there's, we got to remember where we were, you know, where I was, how many years ago in the early '80s when I run into Pastor Peters. And so, you know, we got to remember where we're at. And I think, you know, we have to. You don't ram nothing down anybody's throat. You know, every time you Jesus doubt, he always asked a question. Even when he was crucified, he says, "Who do you say that I am?" He didn't answer him. And I'm telling you, you don't argue with people. You ask questions. And you put the burden of proof back on them because they don't know. So, and you have to believe the Bible, and that's where all truth is. But we have to be, sometimes I think we have to be gentle enough to teach them. And it's with a question, not with an argument.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. And more of those lies that people are starting, they're starting to see that that's what they are, the lies. You know, I think back even the old Common Core, it's old now, that, the utterly ridiculous math and situational ethics that has been crammed down the public the public school system. And more recently, the critical race theory. There's states that are forbidding that to be taught in the public schools. And even to the point, I think, of salvation, that is just part of those lies that have been taught to the people. And they succeed for a little while because they come from him who might have a little power. But as you said, Paul, if the people will seek, if they will look for the truth, it's out there. It's out there. Not all will. You know, I think of the two verses in Matthew when the disciples asked Jesus, well, are there just a few being saved? And he says, yes, pretty much. He says, you know, straight is the gate, narrow the way, and few there are that find it. And when you couple Psalms 91 with that 1,000 may fall at your your left hand and 10,000 at your right, but it will not come unto thee. Well, that's the odds of one maybe to about 11,000, and that describes the remnant. That describes a remnant that gets it. You know, the 50% of the wise virgins that had bought the oil of understanding. We rebroadcast pastors' messages that talked about those here just a few weeks ago, back when we were printing the newsletter, and had the opportunity to listen to those during the day again. And what a great teaching that the pastor did on that. That, you know, in showing that we have to remember those virgins are so-called Christians, and half didn't make it because they had not paid the price. They had not bought the oil. And when it came right down to it, at the midnight hour, you know, not the 11:58, not the 11:59 and 59, because they could have still went and got their oil then. But at the midnight hour, boom, behold, the bridegroom comes. And it was too late then. It was too late for them to go buy that truth and buy that oil and get things right. And it seems like that time fast approaches. That gap, that line that we talk about that's, you know, being drawn in the sand, that line dividing left and right, good and evil, those that will bow to Baal and those that won't, it is being deepened and widened and highlighted more and more by the enemies of God. It's the Christian, the true follower of Jesus Christ, that sees that sees that line being widened. And for those that haven't,
yeah. Well, the thing is, we're the ones that are driving this movement by our disobedience and by falling away from God. I mean, time after time, I look at my relationship with my children and see the parallel between God and me and God and us as a nation, as a country. He's a merciful God, and that's why he is turning up the heat like he is to try to drive us back towards him the same way that we use that paddle on our youngins' britches, you know, is to try to open their eyes and get them back on the path. And same thing he's doing with us, and, you know, it's our responsibility as followers of Christ and men is whenever people are chasing, then when he does break through to that, you know, that thick head that we tend to have sometimes, that we're those tools that are there to share the way with them and
amen.
Join them in our number.
Amen.
Yeah, never. You know, I think
in my life. Go ahead, Paul.
I think this ministry needs to identify the players more. You know, we all assume it. We know who Israel is and like that. And I don't think that the people. I remember Zach, I challenged him. I said, Jesus is sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I said, I'll give you $1,000 if you can prove that. He said, well, I can use it. And he went and spent 3 years in a cabin up north and studied the Bible. He came out different. But no, we don't challenge these people. We think everybody is saved, and it's not. The children of Satan are amongst us. They look like us. We can't tell until you sell the truth. You know, when you say that Jesus was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, now, that don't mean there ain't place for other people, but I'm telling you, that's a foundation, is to identify the players in this Bible. You know, the first time I walked into that church in Colorado, there's 6 pews on each side, and I laughed for 2 days that this little church could cause such a stink. You know, but Pastor Peters was a martyr. He was martyred. His son was martyred. His wife was martyred. You will be hated, and he was definitely the most hated preacher in America. And if you could see his little converted fire barn, why? Because he told the truth. So, and he had quite a journey getting where he did. And when he could say nothing bad happened to me, no, that just is appalling to me from a worldly point of view. But it's the truth.
Yeah, and there's never been a more blatant attack on the white Christian Israel, because the enemy understands the Bible better than most Christians, just like Pastor Peters used to say. And the fact is that they know that because of our covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we are the only ones that can destroy them through the power of God. And this was an interesting article I read yesterday. It was a religious professor
And it's true if you think about it. Religious professors argue evangelical Christians are white racists who may end up killing us all. Well, there's a lot of truth to that if you think about it. Not necessarily the racist part of it, but the fact that the white Christian Israel is the only thing that can destroy them. But it says racism and the lost and the lost cause of the Confederacy is alive and thriving among today's white evangelical Christians, argued three religion professors featured on a recent panel hosted by the University of Virginia titled White Evangelical Racism: The Politics of Morality in America. Says, I think that a strong and compelling argument can be made that it's not just the lost cause narrative that still animates white evangelical Christianity wherever it exists, whether it's on the West Coast or in the South, said Larcia Hawkins, assistant professor at University of Virginia. But you're seeing more and more articles and attacks on the white Anglo-Saxon race than we've ever seen before.
Well, if you watch any amount of TV, they've been attacking us for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Drew White Mail is a temporary one.
I seen just recently, too, and, you know, I mean, this governor, I've been following him down in Florida quite a bit, DeSantis, and he's just a man. And, you know, you got to be careful of that, too. But just this last week, he came out against this critical race theory. And on June 10th, the Florida Board of Education is voting on it. But they plan on basically signed in and said this critical race theory, which basically is, you know, is one of those indoctrination programs. And that's what he called it. He's like, we should not be indoctrinating these kids in these schools with this critical race theory, talking about all the poor black people. And, you know, they tried to make a big deal about it, but the thing is everybody backed him on it. And they backed him on it, the Florida Board of Education backed him on it, and they plan on kicking it out. And so, you know, that's encouraging when you see governor standing up. I mean, that's one of the things, that's kind of a hot topic right now, and for a governor to come out and come out against you know, this, and basically he's exposed himself as a racist in light of everything else that you see on TV, and took a stand on it, and, you know, people are for it. So, you know, that's encouraging. You know, it shows you that, you know, there's people that are standing up and saying no, and they can see through a bunch of this garbage.
Well, I've said I've said for years that people have the government that they deserve. If you want God, you'll have godly leaders. You know, the hair root feeds the big oak. It's the people that have to have a desire for the truth. It's not the people, and it's good to have a leader. He'll put leaders that are there if we desire it. And I think there is a transition going on at the moment. There's more and more asking questions.
Absolutely. And especially with this critical race theory, because that's one of the big things. There are, like you said, Jason, there are governors that are standing up. Florida, Texas, Tennessee, Georgia. I think there's 12 or 13 states that the governor has, Idaho even has, that have come out and said, no, this is trash. And that's a good thing. No, it's not turning people to salvation, but it's part of that awakening. I think it's part of the people standing up, realizing that you can stand up and say no. It's a step.
Yeah, this was a concerning fact. If you look back at, I can remember reporting on what these numbers were even 10 years ago, but the headline is, only 6% of Americans hold to biblical worldview, new study shows. while 51% of the 1,000 American so-called Christian adults surveyed said they hold to biblical worldview, a new study determined only about 6% actually embrace such a belief system. The researchers came to that conclusion after asking a series of secondary questions of those who claim to espouse the biblical worldview. So, in other words, 51% of the population may identify as quote-unquote Christian, but only 6% of the people are quote-unquote followers of Jesus Christ. That's the way I look at it.
I always like that that song, Stout-Hearted Men. Start me with 10, I soon give you 10,000 more. Whenever we do, when we do stand, it's hard, it's real hard for that first guy to stand up, but it's easier for the second and third, and it's an exponential process. The more that stand, the more it makes it easy for others to stand. And we can't shrink back, we can't fear. We got to stand in the gap.
Amen to that. Well, again, Remnant, the program, Coffee with the Wranglers, and the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you have a question or a comment, and people are coming to the truth. We've had earlier this year, we had a woman fly out from California and got baptized. Since then, we've had a man drive out from Minnesota for baptism, heard about us on social media, and Paul, like you said, he was looking. He was looking. This man's name was Dan, is Dan, and he was looking. He said he heard one of Pastor's broadcasts that was going out, and he said, I'd never heard that before, and he considered himself a Christian, been brought up Lutheran, and but didn't know the Bible. And he said the more he looked, the more his eyes were opened. And he didn't want to delay. He saw the need for baptism and called and said, could we set this up? And we did. And Jason got the baptistry ready, and he came out and got baptized. And we've got a couple in Kentucky that were wanting to come out 1st of June. He called, said it's going to be July for getting off work and everything. But they still want to come out and get baptized. And so we're seeing, that's what we're going to see. That's the beginning or the continuation of the beginning of people, some that are getting serious, some of that 6% or 3%, whatever it may be, that are getting serious and not only believing the word, not only reading the word, but obeying the word.
Well, I don't think that this ministry is taking the persecution that it used to take, not visibly. I mean, it's we're putting a big pile of white supremacists or whatever it is, but we're not taking near the direct persecution. I think the tide has turned. That's my personal opinion. You guys are where you know what's going on, but all I hear is secondhand stuff. So I do think the tide has turned.
The attacks have come on the financial front more than anything with regards to locking down a means of collecting support to continue to fight the good fight with regards to PayPal, and Jason can probably speak more to that than I can, but I think that's where they've concentrated their attacks now on cutting off the support to any organization that speaks against them. But I believe we're also at a paradigm shift too right now, like you said, that things are going to shift to persecution on those who would dare tell the truth, and especially the Israel truth, and now is the time to show the people the truth of the Israel truth, because you can't really understand your Bible until you understand who Israel is, if you think it's the Israelites in the Middle East, then it changes the whole perspective of the Bible until you realize the fact that
there's not a religion out there that believes that they are that people. I mean, that is a difficult thing to overcome with people.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just ingrained.
For that truth, too.
It's ingrained in them. Roman Catholics, all of them, they just believe that Israel is those people. And they glorify them, and they've exalted them, and they've brought us down to the problems we have today.
Yeah. Well, we're just bringing the wrath down upon us even more because you got most of the evangelical Judeo-Christian churches just praying for the Israelites. And so
it's about time for the rapture. It's about time for the rapture if it's going to happen, don't you think? That was a joke.
Yeah.
Sarcasm.
I understand. Yeah. That's well, that's part of the problem. I mean, Pat, we've seen that for years, that the fact that one of the greatest lies that's perpetrated to the American church is the fact that, oh, just don't worry about how bad things get, just live your life because you're going to be raptured, you know, before all of this comes down. And that's not at all the case. We, as the Christian followers of Jesus Christ, need to be setting the examples. We still need to be fighting the good fight, exposing the lies, exposing the evil. And for the sad thing is like I said, we fell asleep as the watchmen over the house of Israel, and that's why we're in the situation that we're in my opinion.
Well, we win.
I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Read the end of the book. But you can see that they believe that they're at the time of fulfilling their Ten Commandments, Georgia Guidestones, you know, reduction of population to 500 million, and on and on it goes with regards to the New World Order, New World Religion, New World. But they believe that they're promoting the light bearer, you know, Lucifer. Some of them, I think, are deceived to the point where they believe that the Lucifer, you know, being the light bearer, is a good force. Obviously, the ones who are the head of that organizations understand the battle that we're in is good versus evil, period. And their goal, their job, you know, they don't even hide it anymore, which is the thing that most people can't understand. But the fact that this spiritual warfare we're in is good versus evil, period.
Yeah, and what's the matter with racism? You know, God created race, and when he said kind after kind, that means race after race. You put a black man, and he's going to put black man around him, white men around him. There's nothing wrong with racism. It's like God ordained. And everybody thinks it's a curse word. Noah got on the boat because he was racially pure. And there's going to be a cleansing coming again, because we were in a mess, because it, you know, everywhere you look, if it ain't a queer, it's an interracial marriage. I mean, sick.
Yeah, they've created the fear in the people of using that word, and it's always worked for the demon rats. So they now they're, you know, at the last resort, they always pull that race card. But like I said, the race thing used to be, it wasn't so targeted just as at the white Anglo-Saxon Christian as it is now, at least as far as I can recall.
But it is now in every aspect, you know. Not that we follow sports, but even Tim Tebow is stepping back into the NFL. The Jacksonville Jaguars signed him to try him out. And ESPN brought that up. ESPN brought it up. Oh, it's a race thing. It's because he's white. How about Kaepernick, whatever that black bastard's name is? Whoa, why don't they give him a chance? And it's racist. It's because the NFL's racist. And they do. They throw it out every chance that they get. Josh, you had a comment. a minute ago you were going to come up with something before we run out of time.
Well, just listening to John and Paul talk and thinking about the double-mindedness that locks people up and you know, neutralizes them, because you can't believe in two opposing thoughts at the same time. You're neutralized, you know. And I was just thinking, one of the blessings that and I was curious up there, one of the blessings here that has come from the COVID stuff is, man, there's at least twice as many people now that are homeschooling their children, that have pulled them out of that system of indoctrination that you put them in every single day of their lives as they're coming up learning through the most important years of their life. And I believe that's a big thing and a powerful thing, to get those children back home where they have at least a chance, you know, of getting fed the right food instead of being in their indoctrination system. That's very encouraging for me. Like I said, because percentage-wise, I think there are twice as many folks around here that are homeschooling. What does it look like up there? Is it kind of the same, or?
Yeah, it's the same around. I know a lot of people that have pulled their kids out of schools and just said, nope, we're not doing it, we're done. And it started, you know, at the, you know, either it was the requirements when they opened the schools back, you know, and they've got, you know, 4 and 5 year olds that aren't supposed to, they're supposed to be social distancing and wearing masks and stuff like that. That was one of the things that caused a lot of problems. And it was, you know, one thing after another, but, you know, absolutely. There's, you know, the homeschool groups and everything down here are just growing like crazy in leaps and bounds.
Yes.
And that's sure a great start in the direction of bringing up that next generation of us, you know, our replacements. I don't remember if it was Jason or John, but somebody else talking about that's what we're here for. Maybe it was Paul, but, you know, we're training our replacements. That's our job, is to hand off that mantle before we get out of here. And praise the Lord for that. And I think it'd be good for us to keep that in our prayers, is the protection for the homeschoolers and, you know, just that'll continue to be the direction that we're moving in as a country, getting out of that indoctrination and being programmed with these lies before the children ever have a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see the push towards the cashless society coming on greater than ever as well. The fact that they're giving away free money. I mean, you can see that the government's plan right now is to spend as much money as possible, as fast as possible. The new budget, $6 trillion, which will add $2 trillion to the already $30 trillion. So it's all funny money anymore. But I work with some of these college students, and some of them are like so excited. Oh, yeah, we might get $2,000 a month for a guaranteed income, you know. Wow, can you imagine that? And I said, yeah, just remember this. Right now, that seems like a lot of money, and you can live on it. But try to live married, owning anything with a family at $2,000. And you can see that. Also, you can see that, I don't know if they're doing it out around you. But, well, part of this, too, is a backdoor way to they wanted the $15 minimum wage, you know. So,
I agree 100%.
What they've done now is they've incentivized unemployment to the fact that these employers, to get anybody to even apply, you're going to have to pay more money, which is just the backdoor way into getting that $15 minimum wage. But here in our state, the governor just declared that if you've been on unemployment, the minimum requirement is 1 week on unemployment, and then you go get a job, they'll give you, the state of Colorado will give you a check for $1,600. And the other thing that I've saw lately is, I don't know if it's happening around you, but some of the grocery stores and different stores, they only have like one register that'll take cash. Everything else is credit cards. And if you want to go into the cash line, there's still a number of us out there who try to use cash, and that line is typically pretty long, to the point where it discourages them from using cash and breaking out the credit card just to get in and out faster. But yeah, they pulled out all the stops basically against American.
Well, and not only that, but like around here, the small businesses, you know, they're having to shorten their hours and close on certain days, and long term, they're not going to be able to continue to take that hit. And I think that's another part of the plan, is to get the small businesses out of the way, you know, and bring us to the doorstep.
Yeah. Plus, we have a national chain shortage. Did you know that? So that's part of the reason you can't use cash, because we don't have enough change to give you change. Or we just keep your, we can't give you change, so you can just donate it to what, you know, whatever cause we deem necessary.
Yeah, and we really didn't even have the opportunity to talk about Canada. I think we've all spoke to people up in Canada that they are on lockdown, absolute lockdown. I had a woman on the ministry call. It's been 2 weeks now, and she said, hey, she said, I can go to town on Tuesdays. That's when I can go to town. That's when the government lets me go to town. That's when I am authorized to travel. So when I go on Tuesday, I'll send you a letter and some donation and this and that. And she wanted to order some books, and said it was terrible. Said the stores can sell food and the pharmacy's open, and that's it. And so whether it's your hardware stores or your big box stores, they have been on absolute lockdown. John, I think you've talked to some of the remnant as well up there.
Yeah, I've been talking to
Brent, quite different.
Brent quite a bit, but yeah, they're talking. I mean, literally, they're pretty close to going door to door and force vaccinating people. They're real close. I mean, they leaked. Somehow their plan was leaked, and he sent me that. But you can see the next step is roadblocks. Do you have your papers in order? Which I'm sure is the plan that they want to do here in the U.S. I think one of the things, obviously, it's God's grace that's kept it from fruition. But the fact that the American people are so well armed has also kept the enemy in check to a point. But yeah, they're full out communist regime there in Canada.
Canada was taxed at 80% anyway. I mean, that was their god, their government. They didn't have to think about medicine or nothing like that. I mean, that's coming to a head. So
yeah, you're right.
My niece is in England too. I guess they're really tied down too, but this is a worldwide. You know, but this war has been going on since the garden. Adam and Eve fell, and it's been going on, and it's coming to a head, though, I believe.
Absolutely.
I do, too. Absolutely.
You know, it was 400 years ago.
It's important, though, to take a stand against these things, too, even not wearing a mask and social distancing and all that. One thing they did show was Europe has hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people protesting the lockdowns and all that, and the reality is that they don't know what to do. They can't do anything. It's just like anything else. If the majority of the people wake up and stand against the tyranny, obviously it's not going to make any difference unless they repent and turn back to God, because he's in control, and any protest you make in the physical realm isn't going to do anything long term. But I think it's important that our people totally stand against these dictatorships' mandates regarding masks and socialist distancing and all these other things.
Absolutely.
One of the most dangerous people is that squirrely little neighbor that's scared of the shadow. He turns you in. That's what the real issue is. They can't justify your dipping. You know, that's where the division comes. And that's the oldest time, the divide and conquer. I mean, that's what's going on with people, too. You got people that, you know, they've taken the mask. People have changed here in Michigan, too. They're getting out and about much more. the 1st of June the mass thing is done. I mean, you know, she got caught taking a trip to Florida for $27,000, you know, for a long weekend. And she's I think she's taking a lot of heat because things are changing here. I don't know if it's the better or worse, but people are lighting up. They're moving, and they're wearing a lot less masks, and there's some that still do it. So probably will till they die. Who knows?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, and people are realizing, too, there's nowhere else to go. You know, 400 years ago when the pilgrims came, they had this new land, and it was presented to them, this new JERUSALEM. But there's nowhere else to go. There is nowhere else, and it's been brought up many times here as we're wrapping up this morning, that it's because of the firearms. What other nation in the world have they not? I mean, we talk Canada and Mexico, South America, all this, everything around us, Australia, Europe, England, every other place that the white Christian has been, they have conquered. And they're really close here. And that should let you know that's the times that we're in. Exciting times, as it was said earlier, as for times such as these, we were created for these times.
We're in that time that we're not going anywhere. You know, Israel and Judah have been brought together under one government. This is all coming back together, and this Jerusalem that we live in is not going anywhere. He says we're not moving again. Now, we're going to take some heat, but we're not going nowhere, and we do win. This is
Amen.
God's.
Amen.
We are His favorite people, if you'll just listen.
Amen. There is nowhere else to go. This is it. Well, folks, we do want to, as we wrap up this morning, invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. You can do that at scripturesforamerica.org. You can click on the live video stream starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 on the West Coast. And join us. And we'll have a great timeless pulpit truth. They have been just absolutely phenomenal lately. John, looking forward to your live message, and we'll have communion. And so we invite you, come and join us at church with like-minded Christians. Men, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling,
shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.